So the month of November around here is all about making more and better ripples. We want to see God's kingdom expand and it move out. And we want to see a life get touched that touches a life, that touches a life, that touches a life. And we get to participate in that with our time, with our talents, even with our money. God, use us in powerful ways to further your kingdom here on earth. And the ripple effect is what we want to celebrate. Hey, toward that end, I'm going to invite our ushers to come forward again. We're giving the ushers a workout this weekend. Right now, literally, they're carrying a thing of rocks, and they're going to pass them up and down the row. And I'm going to invite each one of you to pick out your rock that you want. You can be as choosy as you'd like. Pick out the one that grabs your eye and simply hold that in your hand, if you will. Last week, we talked about the ripple effect, and I shared with you that moment when I was a kid that my dad taught me that sidearm throw, how to skip a rock across the water. And we talked about the ripple effect. Every time it glances off the surface plane of the water, ripples start to go out. I was going through some old pictures this last week, and I found a photo of my kids when they were tiny, and this is actually, I think, in Yosemite National Park, and we had just talked about how to skip a rock, and I remember snapping that photo. That moment is meaningful to me, not just for the moment itself, but it's about that time that my kids were stepping down into the baptism waters, that I got to be a part of that process, and it would be my prayer for my kids. And I suspect it's the prayer for many of us as parents or grandparents who are baptizing their kids, that they would touch a life. As they grow up, as they live their lives out loud for Jesus, that they'd touch a life, that touches a life, that touches a life. And the ripple effect that we get to be a part of, it's kind of genius, but it's God's design. So why would we expect any different? If you're taking notes today, and I hope you will, write this down. Kingdom expansion begins with cause and effect. Kingdom expansion begins with cause and effect. I'll give you a little window into my weird brain. I spent probably 10, maybe 15 minutes in my office staring at that sentence, kind of thinking about that sentence, what that means. I'll give you another insight into my weird brain. Some of you might be kind of word nerds. I spent a while debating, do I want to do cause and effect or do I want to do affect and effect? Maybe you know the difference between those. Affect is the front end. It's kind of what the cause of a change. The effect is the result of the change. So regardless if you're a nerd like me, you want to go with affect and effect, or if you're like everybody else, you want to say it's cause and effect. Kingdom expansion begins with this. And we could open up the pages of Scripture, and we could spend time in our Bibles looking at cause and effect and seeing God's kingdom expanded. It's all over Scripture. We could go all the way back to the 12th chapter of Genesis, the Great Commission of the Old Testament, when God comes to a man named Abram. And the Lord said to Abram in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, leave your country, leave everything that you've known. I want you to go. Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land that I'm going to show you. Here's the deal. I'm going to make you into a great nation, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great, and you're going to be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I also will curse. And get this, here's the Great Commission in the Old Testament. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And this is about Jesus, that he's going to become this great nation. God is going to give him a people, and he's going to give him a place. And in that story in the Old Testament, the Jesus story gets incubated through that place and those people. And ultimately, Jesus is the result of that. So what's Abraham do? Well, the next verse says this. Abram left as the Lord had told him to, which is an act of faith. Because at this time, the dude is 75 years old. God is saying, I'm going to use you. You don't even have any kids. I'm going to make you into a great nation. And on the way up, God says, jump. On the way up, Abraham asks, how high? And he leaves Ur of the Chaldeans, and he travels almost 2,000 miles across the arc of the Fertile Crescent to this promised land location. And we see that story fulfilled all throughout the Old Testament, cause and effect. Early New Testament, Jesus' ministry, the gospel is proclaimed. Last week we talked about this, the ripple effect. Jesus says, I want you to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. We just witnessed that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, discipling them. I'm going to be with you, the promise, till the very end of the age. Ripple effect. And then his parting words, we read this last week out of Acts 1, he says, I want you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. I think we even put up a graphic last week to kind of show that ripple effect. But here's what happens. Human nature being what it is, we get comfortable, and I believe that God would use even affliction to push his message forward, even persecution. We see this in the book of Acts, beginning with chapter 8. If you want to go there with me, I'm in Acts chapter 8. This is on page 1099 in those Bibles that are in the seats in front of you. Because the church has gotten a bit comfortable. Persecution breaks out, and again, I think God uses this to push his message forward, to make the ripples keep going. Acts chapter 8. At the end of chapter 7, we see this powerful moment where the first Christian martyr happens. He's killed for his faith. His name is Stephen. He's stoned. This is not the Jerry Garcia 1960s stoned, right? This is pick up a rock and throw him at his head until he's dead stoned. And I recognize that you're all holding a rock, and I see the irony in that. Please don't throw those at me. But can you imagine the moment? He loves Jesus so much, and he's telling people about Jesus. He's creating ripples, and people get mad, and they kill him for his faith. Here's where we pick up the story. Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was there, giving approval to his death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. Remember that ripple effect. Jerusalem is in the middle. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Isn't that interesting? We see the ripple start to happen. Jerusalem, remember, to Judea, to Samaria, and now we're aiming at the ends of the earth. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. And elsewhere it says he's breathing out murderous threats against them. Now, I don't have time to read that whole story to you. You can read it yourself if you'd like later in the book of Acts. But basically, God gets a hold of Saul. He knocks him on his can. It's a bright light. And it's Jesus saying to Saul on the road to Damascus, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? There's this powerful transformation, radical change. He becomes a Christian himself, is following Jesus, and he is like a zealot about this. And he starts preaching. And everybody he encounters, he tells them, this is who Jesus is. This is what happened in Jerusalem, and we've seen it happen in Judea, and it's happening in Samaria. And then he literally gets on a boat. And literally and figuratively, he starts to create ripples. Literally, because he's on a boat, and you can imagine the bow of the ship as it's going through the Mediterranean Ocean, it's creating ripples. Figuratively, because when he stops at each of these ports along the way, these seaports, he gets out and he preaches and he tells people the gospel, the good news of who Jesus is. Ripples to the very ends of the earth. And we see it right here in the book of Acts. Now, we suspect, it's probably a pretty good assumption, that there were people back in Jerusalem and Judea, maybe even Samaria, that were resourcing these journeys, that were paying passage on the ship, maybe giving him provisions and ways, places for him to stay along the way. There are people probably, we know there are people that are praying for him. This is what we're talking about today. I want to show you the cause and the effect. If you want to flip over to chapter 17 of Acts, this is on page, I think it's 1111 of those Bibles. Chapter 17, verses 1 and following in the book of Acts. Let's look at the cause. He stops at one of those port cities. This one's called Thessalonica. When they had passed through Amphipolis. Now, the key with these words is for me just to pronounce them with confidence because you don't know how to pronounce them either, and so that's what's happening here. And Apollonia, named, I believe, after Apollo, Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, another city here in Greece, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them with the Scriptures. So for 3 weeks, he's preaching the gospel, the good news of Jesus, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Christ I am proclaiming to you is the this Jesus is the Christ, he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women, which is a bit cumbersome way to say a whole bunch of ladies stepped up and said, I want to follow Jesus as well. And these are Greek men and women. These are people who had been worshiping the Greek gods, like Apollo. That city we just read is probably named after the Greek god Apollo. They start worshiping Jesus, and they start telling the story of this cause. Let's look at the effect. Skip over to 1 Thessalonians, if you would, chapter 1. This is on page 1186 in those Bibles, if you're following along. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, he was just in Thessalonica. Now he's writing a letter back to this same group of people. Cause, before, let's see the effect. Verse 4, for we know, brothers loved by God, and probably sisters as well, they were referenced back there in that verse as well. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us, and of the Lord, in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Not just in Thessalonica, but the whole region of Greece. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. Isn't that the goal? That the ripple effect would have such expansion that even our very lives would be put on display of who God is, and people are drawn to him because of what we do. This is what's happening with the Thessalonians. Do you see the cause? He preaches the gospel. Some respond. They tell the story, and they resource others. And later, my goodness, it's spread all throughout the region, cause and effect. Think about this. You know Jesus, probably because somebody told you about Jesus. And somebody told them about Jesus, and somebody told that person about Jesus, and you could just take that and you could trace it all the way back. Quite likely, the Apostle Paul, who we just read about, is likely your spiritual great, 1,000 or maybe 100,000 times great granddaddy. You ever thought about that before? We are tied to these stories in Scripture. We might have just read about some of your spiritual ancestors right there in Thessalonica. And here's the other thing. At multiple places and at multiple times in your spiritual family tree, in my spiritual family tree, somebody invested in you. Somebody invested in a spiritual descendant that they probably would never meet, you. You and I, we are the result of kingdom expansion. And it took an investment of time, and it took an investment of energy, and quite likely, it took an investment of money to make that happen. Because money is just a tool meant for kingdom expansion. It's just a tool. It's a pretty important tool, and it's a tool that most of us have in our toolbox. This whole month is about making ripples. And we've given you some very simple, proactive steps. We're talking about groceries for hungry people. We're talking about a Christmas present for a child that you're probably never going to meet who lives on the other side of the world. We're talking about emergency food packing that's going to happen here in a couple of weeks right here in this space for people that you probably never will meet. Our goal is to touch a life who touches a life who touches a life. But I want to invite you into a deeper level of investment today as well. Would you grab that rock that you just selected, pull it out, and hold it in your hand? At the same time, there is a piece of paper. It's called a commitment card. I think I've got a graphic to show you what it looks like. It should be in the seat backs in front of you. Would everybody grab one of those as well? And would you simply hold these two things in your hand? This represents the ripples that we want to make. The other represents the resource that we can put fuel to the fire to make those ripples happen. Just hold those in your hands, and I simply want you to ask yourself, as John comes up here in a moment, he's going to interview some more of our missionaries, and we're going to hear some more stories. Ask yourself this question: is God asking you to invest into kingdom expansion. Not me. Is God asking you to do that? If so, we're going to give you a specific action step at the end. So I'm going to invite you even to think about your bank account. And as you listen to these stories, see if you can be looking for the ripples. I'm going to invite right now John and Humberto and Becky Ramirez to the platform. Would you join me in welcoming them right now?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Stan. We are so glad to be here today. And I wanted to let you know that we support, as a congregation, 48 missions around the world and around the United States. Last week, we focused on some of the missions that we support around the world, and it's incredible the work that is taking place. And this week, we wanted to just also share with you some of the missions that we have more locally here in Indiana and around the United States area. And here I want to share with you a fact. Did you know that here in America, there are 426,000 Hispanic people living actually here in Indiana? In Indiana, almost half a million residents of Indiana are Hispanic. You know, last week we had Sergio Alvarado here. He's our missionary planting churches outside of Mexico City. And here we have, right here in our own state, half a million Hispanics. And we have today Humberto and Becky Ramirez, who are ministering to our Hispanic families here in Indiana. Let's welcome them today.
Thank you.
Hey, welcome. So glad to have you with us. And you guys have a ministry right here in Indianapolis, but tell us, where are you from and how did you guys meet?
I was born in Kentucky and went to school, Bible college. And when I was in Bible college, got interested in missions and decided I wanted to have something to offer a mission, got my teaching degree, and then I was invited to teach at a school for missionary kids in Mexico. So I went in 1978.
So you were ready to work missions.
Right.
And then something happened.
Yes.
I graduated from college in Texas, and then I went back to Mexico to work in a printing
You are area. From Mexico.
Yes. I came to Texas to college, and then I went back. I was printing materials for different churches in the central part of Mexico, and I was working for the school that she went to teach to.
Oh, okay. So you guys met and got married.
In Mexico.
And then you ended up here in Indiana, and what kind of work are you doing here? And it's in Indianapolis, isn't
it? We were working in Mexico in different capacities within the church, and after 23 years of being married, we were invited to Indianapolis to work with Hispanic people in the east side of town.
In eastern Indianapolis area.
Yes.
I believe it's Washington Street?
And rural.
And rural.
Inglewood
Christian
That's
Church.
That's where we met.
Okay.
What we're trying to do is helping all the Hispanic that are arriving or living in that area to get established and get acquainted with all the different things that they face when they come into the country.
You have a church service that you offer every Sunday morning, so they had to get along without you today.
Yeah, after a few years of making contact with people, we form a church, and then the other focus that we involve in is in trying to live as a church that works together, love each other, and show the world how God is living within us.
Right here in Indianapolis. Right here. Well, that is great. That is fantastic. And I know that you have made an impact on a number of families there in the Indianapolis area. I think we have a picture of another family. Tell us about this family here.
Miguel and Roxana, the couple right beside me, came to our office because we have a connection with different organizations in town. And they knew that we have some counseling for families and counseling for marriage, and they came looking for some information about a problem that they have with their girl, and she was 13 years old at that time. And after talking, we find out that really the problems of the girl was just a reflection of the different decisions that the adults were making. So we talk about that, and we help them to get married, and then The next day, they were baptized after they got married, and they became part of the church, and now they are good members of our group.
So they, through your ministry, they end up getting married, they end up giving their lives to Jesus Christ, and now they're followers of Jesus Christ and members of your church.
Yes.
Right.
That
right.
is great. Let's celebrate that. That is fantastic. That is fantastic. And I know that there's a number of families that are that way. We are making ripples. Your help is allowing us to make ripples and to impact the lives of our Hispanic families here in Indiana. And Becky and Umberto, thank you so much for this ministry that you do, and thank you for the work that you are doing. You know what? I grabbed a big rock. I'm going to have you have that one, because you guys are making a big impact, you know, in God's kingdom. Before I let you go, let me just offer a word of prayer for both of you. Oh, God in heaven, I thank you for today. Thank you, Father, for Umberto and Becky and their ministry that they have to the Hispanic folks of Indianapolis and Eastern Indianapolis. And God, I pray that you will continue to bless them and continue to help them to make a big splash and ripples throughout the community as people are giving their lives to Jesus Christ. And God, thank you that just about this one family alone that gave their lives to you. They were married and were baptized, and Father, they too are making a ripple effect in other people's lives. Thank you, Father, for blessing us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's show our appreciation to Becky and Umberto. I wanted to tell you that one of the other local ministries that we have, that we support in our missions team, it's called Life Centers of Indiana. And they too are making a ripple around the kingdom of God. You know, from this year alone, from January through September of this year, this ministry of Life Centers worked with 5,784 women and children. And they are helping women to choose love and compassion when they are pregnant. And they saw this year 1,436 babies born, ladies that decided to do that. Isn't that exciting? This is a very powerful ministry. And there are several life centers around Indianapolis area. Lucy Urban of our church is the director of the Northeast Center. And if you remember earlier this year, she brought in empty baby bottles, and it's called Bottles for Babies. And we collected money on top of what we usually give to Life Center. We gave them, through the Bottles for Babies campaign, an extra $2,339. So thank you very much. We can celebrate that as well. It is a powerful ministry that's making ripples. Watch this video to hear this testimony.
4 years ago, I found out I was pregnant, and I decided to stop into the Life Center to get a pregnancy test. I was in the church. My spouse and I, we were heavily in the ministry together and really hoping to reconcile. And once I found out I was pregnant, by us not being married anymore, there was a lot of opposition in that place, a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, humiliation, and the church family members were against the fact that I was pregnant. Even as far as withholding their love from me. So at this point, I'm alone. God, you can't love me because I'm pregnant with this baby and I'm not married anymore. Here I am in this position at church. Here he is in a position at church. And here's his baby. So at that point, I felt like I didn't have any choice but to, let's get rid of her. Let's just abort the baby and life will go on. So I came to Life Centers just for a pregnancy test. And that's when I met Marilyn, and she counseled me. She first and foremost encouraged me in the Lord to keep the baby and explain why. It wasn't forceful. She was speaking from a place of love and care and concern. And not just for the baby, but for me as a woman. It was okay for me to talk about the hard place. it was just okay. And it was, I didn't feel judged. It's unexplainable. I can't explain it. It was the love of God is what Marilyn was sharing with me. That God would make a way for you and the baby. And because I decided to keep her, the Lord opened up doors for me that I never even imagined. I have more than enough to take care of my children. So Jill has three brothers, and of course she is the jewel. She is the princess in the home, and she's so smart. And she's very, very loving. Very, very loving. And I'm so happy that I decided to change my mind and keep her. And the relationship is so wonderful. I hold her close to me all the time. And I can't believe that I really thought to abort her, but coming into Life Centers gave me life. It gave my daughter life.
So special. We have a team of 10 members on our mission leadership team, and they check out all of our missions that we support so that every dollar that we give to missions makes an impact and ripples throughout the community. You know, our church loves children, from this ministry to this next one that I want to introduce you to. Every year here in the United States, 2.5 million children are homeless on an average day. 2.5 million children are homeless as we speak today. And our church is making a difference. We're making a splash and we're making a ripple through this. Because of that situation, back in 1986, over 30 years ago, Family Promise began in New York City. 2 years later, because of this powerful program, it went nationwide. By the year 2016, there were 200 affiliates scattered throughout the United States. And then this year, another affiliate began right here in Hamilton County. We now have Family Promise of Hamilton County, and we have with us today Nancy Ramsey, the Executive Director for Family Promise of Hamilton County. Let's welcome Nancy.
Thank you, Don. Of that 2.5 million children in the United States, there's over 172 school-age children here in Hamilton County. And that doesn't include...
That
are homeless. That doesn't include the preschool under school-age children.
So just school-age children, we have that many.
As of September numbers,
and
yes.
And that's why we have this program.
Yes,
it has come to Hamilton County, and I believe our church is a part of not just giving finances, mm-hmm. but we actually are one of the host churches for Family Promise.
Right. Our program provides wraparound services as well as hosting for homeless families to stay, and Venture's been a huge part of that. We partner with different congregations in our community. Like I said, they provide the hospitality, the evening, the place to stay, the warm, secure place to stay, as long as hot meals, breakfast and dinner. And then we provide the wraparound services as well, and that's what also supports us, because we help those families who have barriers to employment or to housing, and we help them find better jobs, transportation.
So since June, our church has hosted Family Promise three weeks, and we just finished up a week, I think about 7 days ago.
You did, yes.
And this is a ministry that takes a lot of volunteers. Matter of fact, I received the statistics of what we did this past week. We had over 50 volunteers who made this program work, and they logged in 300 volunteer hours to do this. So this is great. Our church building became a five-star hotel.
It was a five-star hotel.
We have a picture of our bedrooms.
Yes.
We just transport the classrooms into bedrooms. And also, I think we provided, what, three meals a day?
Three meals a day. Three squares a day.
Square meals a day. Well, very good. What makes Family Promise so special?
It's these little handprints right here.
Oh.
This is a gift.
These are my little buddies, by the way. They came running to me just like my grandchildren do. They are very loving.
Family Promise serves children and then whatever adults are in their lives. So this is a thank you to Venture for 2019 hosting. And all of these little handprints represent families and children that stayed here in your building, and you supported these children.
Well, thank you very much. Looking at these, I think we can identify exactly whose handprint is whose.
I'm sure you can.
That is great. That is great. It's a very, very special program. Tell us about a family. You had a family. We had a family that graduated.
You did, and I think we'll see a picture of them up here. They were from the Carmel area. There they are. Look, you can see the personality just shine through right there, can't you? They were with us for nearly 3 months, but she was able to get a house here in, or an apartment here in Noblesville, and they were so thankful to everything that had happened. Venture was their first church they stayed at, and then they stayed another time, and she was wanted to make sure that they got to come back last week and thank Venture for everything that they helped do for them. So.
This is
why we do it. This is for the children.
We're seeing families graduate, and we just praise God because of that. That is wonderful. That is wonderful. Folks, I just have to tell you why this program is so key. What I've told people, it's not a Band-Aid of just, you know, helping out. This is actually helping families to get back on their feet again. And through Nancy and her staff, we're able to help these families to figure out why they were homeless. Let's fix that and let's get back. And they basically, you set up a 3-month program to see
yes.
that happen.
Yep, we help them with transportation needs, schooling, education, training, all of that, as well as find jobs and then find housing at the end of the program.
Becky, thank you so much. And Venture, not only thank you for the support, but thank you for volunteering at Family Promise.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Matter of fact, you and the Ramirez will be out by the front door when you exit today. And our Family Promise staff will be out there too. And we would love to just talk to you about all the missions that we have.
Absolutely.
Nancy, can I just pray with you
Please.
Before I let you go? Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for giving us opportunity to love others. And God, the children, it just breaks our heart when we know that children are homeless and they have no place to stay. And God, thank you that through this ministry of Family Promise, we can begin to share the love of your son, Jesus, with others. I pray that you'll bless Nancy and this program. Continue to be with them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Show your appreciation to Nancy. Thank you. We have so many just powerful missions that we support. I'm going to ask you just a minute to watch one more video. In New England, it is considered the most unchurched, de-churched, and post-religious region in the United States. According to a survey in 2019 in New England, the six states of New England, 4 to 5%. Out of 15 million people have a personal relationship with Jesus. Only 4 to 5%. And we're making an impact and we're making ripples in New England through a ministry called Restoration House Ministries. They have been planting churches in New England for 23 years and they continue to grow by 18% every year. And they plan to add, they plan to double that over the next 10 years, and they're going to start to make an impact. I want you to watch this video of their celebration for Easter Sunday. Let's watch this.
This is the dawn of a new beginning. This time, we can't go home. Listen, I hear the street. Tomorrow calling, I go where you go.
I have to confess, that video, I had not watched it before our first service, and I was standing up here watching it thinking, oh my goodness, that's the ripple effect right there. The founder of that ministry was one of my Bible college professors, and I remember him preaching sermons with the vision of what could God do in the northeast part of our country, and would we partner with him toward that and be praying for that. And today I'm watching that thinking, oh my goodness, 23 years later, that's pretty cool. That's the ripple effect. This isn't going to be like this long, drawn-out emotional appeal. This isn't about making you feel guilty. This is simply, God, what have you blessed me with? And how can I, in turn, bless and cause an impact that creates a ripple to further your kingdom here on earth? Last week, I shared with you that we had these cards, and some of you got these in the mail. I think I've got one. We can even put it up on the screen. And the charge, the call to action last week was simply to be praying. Again, this is above and beyond your tithe. This is beyond, you know, your typical giving here at Venture Christian Church. But, you know, you have resources. Is there a global impact that God would want to use with money that is in your bank account or money that you'll be spending on Starbucks? I don't know. And so be thinking about your bank account right now. And be thinking about your cash flow. And what kind of ripple effect would God want to use in and through you? Remember I said earlier, money is just a tool. It is. It's just a tool. But it's a tool that God uses for some pretty powerful ways to further his kingdom here on earth. You've seen just a bit of that in the stories that we celebrated today. Would you go ahead and grab your rock and pull it out right now if you're not holding it in your hand? And also grab that commitment card. Maybe hold that in the other hand. And I'm going to invite you right now, everybody in this space, I'm going to give you a call to action that everybody can participate in if you are willing. You'll notice there's two sides to this card. It's perforated down the middle. That's because it's designed to be a two-part. One of them you're going to keep. You're going to keep the right side. That's your notes for yourself. You'll take that home with you, maybe put it in a place to remind yourself later of the commitment that you've made today. The left side is an anonymous card. We really don't want to know your name. This is just for accounting purposes. So our team that puts together the budget for how we're going to bless the global kingdom of God this next year. So they have some idea of how to work with this. But I'm going to invite you right now, if you would, I'm hoping everybody would take me up on the challenge to check that bottom box. I commit to praying to support the missions ministry of Venture Christian Church. And here in a moment, I'm going to pray, and we're going to have a time, a song time, and you're going to come forward. And actually, I'm going to invite you to come down this aisle and peel off that direction, come down this aisle and peel off that direction. There's a bucket up here on each side. It's filled with water. Yeah, we're going to make some ripples. And it would be my prayer that your rock would be the Dear God. You're going to drop that in and start a prayer journey that you're committing to pray for this whole next year for the ripple effect, God furthering his kingdom here on earth and how we get to be a part of that. And so if that's you, check that box and maybe right over there, I commit to pray for kingdom expansion through the ministry of Venture. And now I know for some of us, God's been working on our hearts and there is money in our bank account. We know God would use it and bless it. And so I'm not going to draw this out. You just check that box over there and you choose per week, per month, or maybe you've got a one-time gift you want to write down per year. You go ahead and do that right now. And then I'm going to invite everybody to come up and drop your rock in and begin at the prayer time. And then you can drop the left side of your card into one of the bushel baskets here. And then just keep worshiping God as we sing together. Would you stand up with me right now? Let's make some ripples. God, I thank you. I thank you that you would use us for your purposes. And this is a holy moment right here. There are decisions being made that literally have a ripple effect that go throughout the world and literally throughout time. It's our goal to touch a life that touches a life that touches a life, and we get to be a part of that, your kingdom expanding. So, Lord, we worship you now with all that we have and all that we are, and it's your name we pray. Amen.